This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, two of them anyway, Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo. Holding down the fort while Andy Hart does God knows what out on this frigid Friday.
It's working out.
Oh, that's what he calls it?
Yeah, he's got a big workout. He's got to, you know, he's got to get big for the prom.
Sure. Right. So it's Friday, January 29th, the last Roster Report podcast of this month and this off season, and we actually have a little bit of news, some transaction news, Paul, not necessarily on the player roster but on the coaching staff roster. Former Patriot Corwin Brown, safety back in the early to mid-1990s, has joined the team as a defensive coach. That sounds vague. Well, sorry, but that's the way it's worded in the official press release.
Defensive coach.
Defensive coach. He's coaching something on defense.
Now, he has spent the last three seasons, as the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. So there is a possibility that this guy's role is substantial. It could be a little bit bigger than defensive coach would indicate. I know that Belichick is really adamant about titles, not caring about the titles, not wanting his staff to care about titles. So maybe there's something to this, that guys are going to be getting moved around, responsibilities are going to change, and you know, everybody knows those, but we don't necessarily need to know them. Maybe,
right.
For example, maybe Corwin Brown is going to focus on the secondary, where he has, as a positional coach, that's where he has his experience.
And as a player, obviously.
Yeah. And maybe Boyer moves to linebackers. Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator. I don't know. Maybe Corwin Brown is the defensive coordinator.
A lot of scenarios that could play out.
The thing is here, just to let everybody know, with Corwin Brown, this would be a continuation of how the Patriots have, how Belichick has filled his vacancies. This is a guy from the inside. He wasn't on this particular Patriots staff, but he has worked under Belichick, and he has espoused the defensive principles that Belichick is looking to preach. So he's, you know, well-versed in 3-4, two-gap techniques that the Patriots have run in the past.
Right. So it's just another name to add to the mix. We don't really know exactly, as Paul said, the extent of his role yet. And it could be that it hasn't been really defined yet.
No, it could be as simple as that, too, yeah. And maybe when the whole staff is finalized, maybe we'll get some more
some more clarity out of it.
Yeah, some more defined roles and and titles and whatnot. We'll see. But so, Corwin Brown's a good guy, by the way. He's a good guy. I remember him from his time here in New England. I don't know him very well personally, but I know of him, and I know a lot of people speak very, very highly of him,
right,
including our own Fred Kirsch.
Yes, and who was around back then when Corwin played here. Just really quick recap of his career. He was drafted by the Patriots, fourth round out of Michigan in 93, played four seasons here, went to the Jets, and then finished his career with Detroit. Immediately following that, he got into coaching, went to the University of Virginia, coaching special teams there, then went back and coached with the Jets for a few years, got the job with Notre Dame under Charlie Weiss. So the connection, obviously, with the systems
that's
is there.
That's why I say this is very much an inside-the-family hire,
right.
Much like most of them are.
Right. So Corwin Brown, a member of the staff, role to be defined or determined later, at least as far as we're concerned, out here in the general public. Now on to our ongoing series of roster analysis. Last week we started with the interior in the trenches with the O and D lines. We're going to move a little bit further out into the backs now, linebacker and running back. We'll start with the running backs, Paul. Go over some of the, at this point, the league year doesn't start officially until March 5th. So at this point, the players on the roster are Kevin Faulk, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Eric Catani, let's not forget about him.
Oh, no, I would never.
Lawrence Maroney, Sammy Morris, Chris Taylor, another one you can't forget about, and Fred Taylor. And those are your running backs as of this minute on the Patriots roster. Kevin Faulk is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's the only one of that group who really is, you know, not going into this offseason with a little bit of a question mark as to whether or not he's going to be back at least, or at least be under contract with the team come springtime and come training camp. What do you think, Paul? Do you think there's a chance he'll retire, he'll sign somewhere else, come back? What do you think?
For Kevin specifically, I think he re-signs and remains here in New England for at least another season. It might be a 1 or 2 year deal, but I would be very surprised. I know how much he likes it here. I know how much he respects Belichick and enjoys playing for him. He's been one of Bill's guys really right from the start. And I would be very, very surprised to see him walk away. I would not, however, be surprised to see some change with the rest of the running back core. And even though you just mentioned really Kevin is the only unrestricted free agent, you have Fred Taylor, you have Sammy Morris, you have Lawrence Maroney. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I'm pretty confident, will be back.
Yeah, I agree with
certainly
that.
He definitely will be back for camp. Now, whether he makes the team again, mm-hmm. we'll see. But the three veterans, and I count Maroney as a veteran now.
Sure.
I don't think all three of them will be back.
Who of those three do you think is most likely not to be? Are you saying one of those, that whole combination won't be back, or one or more?
I would be very surprised to see Taylor, Morris, and Maroney, all three of them mm-hmm. back. It's a tough one. I could really make an argument for or against any of the three.
You can make an argument for Taylor because of his age and his injury history. You can make an argument for Maroney because of his lack of productivity as a former first-round pick.
Yeah, and you could say, well, Taylor's age and injury history, but they stuck with him all last year.
And he produced when he was healthy.
But that was a long time to go without making a roster move. And they stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously like him and obviously think that he was worth waiting for. So on one side you have the advanced age and the constant injury history. Why don't you just cut ties? On the other side, you say, as you just said, he was productive when he played in short spurts. And the team obviously liked him because they waited so long for him to get healthy. Morris, I think, is a lighter version. And I don't mean by weight. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, light.
Experience-wise.
He has the experience, right. But much like Taylor, has a lot of injury history. His advanced age would lead you to believe that the injury history is probably not going to get better. He's not as productive as Taylor has been. I don't think Sammy Morris is back. I could definitely see an argument for Maroney. If you're asking me to make the choice, Maroney would be the guy that wouldn't be back. I'd look for another young running back, whether it be a young guy who hasn't really had a chance wherever he's been in the league, kind of more of an unknown guy,
mm-hmm.
maybe looking for an opportunity to get some carry somewhere, or, one of the three second-round picks or a third-round pick or something like that, a running back to come in from the draft to replace Maroney. I think they need to replace the younger back on the roster. That's what I think they need to do. I'm not sure they'll be able to do it. I'm not sure they'll do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think running back is a position they're going to probably target in the draft, because looking at the upcoming free agent list, it doesn't look like there are a lot of home run hitters that would be worth reshuffling your whole roster and working your offense around.
Right.
So running back in the draft, rookie, might be the way to go. One other knock potentially against Morris is that he's pretty much a committee guy. He's done the lead back thing on occasion as needed and has done well in spurts, but for the most part, you'd have to define his career as a solid mm-hmm. backup, second-string guy.
I like Sammy Morris. I like Sammy Morris as part of a group, not as the guy.
All right, let's move to the other side of the ball now. Linebackers, here's the roster in alphabetical order. Eric Alexander, Tully Bantakane, Derek Burgess, Sean Crable, Bruce Davis, Gary Guyton, Gerard Mayo, Tyrone McKenzie, Rob Ninkovich. You have to still say Junior Seau because his retirement announcement was unofficial. Adalys Thomas, Thomas Williams, and Pierre Woods. Now, of that group, Bantakane and Burgess technically are scheduled to become unrestricted free agents. Seau just turned 41, said on television that he's not coming back, so you can pretty much forget about him. The other question mark, and it's not that he's not under contract, but Adalys Thomas, we all know the problems that he had off the field this year. There's a chance that he's scheduled to make some big money, and it doesn't look like he wants to be here any longer.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it looks like the end has come for that situation on both sides. I think it's mutual. I don't necessarily think the Patriots want him here anymore either. And he has 2 years remaining on his deal. I think that they use this as an opportunity to cut their losses and sever ties. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in New York with Rex Ryan, where he played probably his best football with the Ravens. I think it's one of those things. It just didn't work. I think it was a sound signing. I think it was a reasonable signing.
Yeah, an exciting one too.
Yeah,
everyone expected.
I like that kind. I can put up with a miss like that more so than I can put up with misses of the countless defensive backs that they've brought in here for short money.
The mediocre players.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the Dwayne Starks and
sure.
Eric Warfields and Torrey Jameses of the world.
Right.
I think that you're going to miss. Fernando Bryant, more often than not, you're going to miss with those guys. Even so, it doesn't cost you any money. You're not getting any player.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, was an opportunity to go out and spend some money, get a guy with some talent who could make an impact. It didn't work. I like the idea. I like the philosophy. It didn't work. Don't be afraid to try it again.
Paul, I think we're in the same situation this offseason as we were last offseason, where the big question surrounding the linebackers was who's going to be the number one pass rusher. And how are we going to acquire that person if he's not already on the team? You mentioned earlier with the running backs, it looked like the draft was probably the way to go to get your running back help. Do you think it's the draft, or do you think there's somebody in free agency that would be able to fill that elite pass rusher void?
Well, I think for this one, I think we're looking at both. I think that they should be interested in a veteran like they were last year, trying to get Jason Taylor. Who knows? Maybe it winds up being Jason Taylor. Again,
mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see a veteran guy come in, but I want to see an emphasis on that come April. I want to see one of these guys come in. I don't know if it's the kid Sapp from Clemson or Eric Norwood from South Carolina. We haven't really done
Kindle
tremendous,
from yeah, Texas.
I really like Kindle. We haven't done a tremendous amount of research yet to find out where exactly all of these guys fit, both within the draft and within the Patriots scheme. So we'll... As we watch more and learn more, read more about these guys, Andy and Eric will be heading to the Combine in about a month, a little less than a month now.
Yep.
So we'll know a little bit more as we move forward, but I want to see an emphasis. One of those top four picks in the top 50, whatever many picks that we have, I want to see somebody with the reputation of being able to get after the passer. So that way you deal with a young guy and an older guy, and maybe you don't have a reliance on a guy like Derek Burgess.
Right.
Because I don't think you got anything out of him at all this year.
The other curiosity.
And TBC, I believe, will be back. I think that's a formality.
Yeah, Bante Kane most likely will be back. And he had a great year, statistically,
terrific
his
year.
Best year ever.
Yeah.
And it seems like this system is the fit for him, because when he left here, he did nothing. He was unproductive. He comes back. He suddenly makes plays again. But I think we need somebody a little bit more dynamic and a little bit more consistent at that area. We love Tully. And we, like you said, we expect him to be back. The other thing I'm curious about, Paul, is Tyrone McKenzie, third-round pick last year, looked like he was going to at least have the potential to make an immediate impact on the inside next to Jerod Mayo. He suffered the unfortunate knee injury in rookie camp last year. A week after the draft, we didn't see him at all this season. I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to the table this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some intrigue there. I loved his resume. Don't know a whole lot about the player because, frankly, we didn't get to see him play. I love the resume, and I love the character that we heard about. We had a chance to talk with him right here on our show on PFW in Progress,
that's right.
which was a lot of fun. So hopefully, whole year. Now, unlike Welker, I mean, it was way back in May. So you're looking at, the following May, he should be 100% recovered. I don't want to say 100% return to full strength, but the injury is recovered by that
yeah,
time.
That should be.
And he should be able to get taken part in the spring, which is very important for a year two guy, to get out on that field, get in the meeting rooms, and work as much as he can. I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this podcast. Next week, we're going to branch out to the outside and talk about wide receivers and cornerbacks, getting a little more into the skill position set there. In the meantime, Get yourself to Patriots.com and vote in today's Debate Friday poll. It's all about Vince Wilfork. You may have heard his comments this week about his contract situation. Paul and Andy go head-to-head in the debate this week, but you, of course, get the chance.
Yeah, help me out. I need some help.
Yeah, you do. You're losing pretty badly right now, but...
I got the outside the box.
I voted for you, though, so...
I got that going.
Hopefully some other people will follow suit. Check out the Debate Friday poll. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back next week with another Roster Report podcast.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.